This is 89.9 WWNO. I'm Janae Pierre, and it's time for All Things New Orleans. On today's show, we'll talk about the Tricentennial Neighborhood Grants and give you all the info you need to apply. Then we'll discuss Go Talk, a campaign created by the Louisiana Public Health Institute, which hopes to push comprehensive sex education in schools across the state. And later, we'll talk about the annual Zulu Toys for Tots distribution. That's all coming up on All Things New Orleans. Stay with us. Is made up of 73 distinct neighborhoods with their own history and traditions. As we prepare to celebrate the city's 300-year history, Mayor Mitch Landrieu, the 2018 NOLA Commission, and the Office of Neighborhood Engagement announced the opening of the application process for the Tricentennial Neighborhood Grants. Joining me now is Scott Hutchison, advisor to the mayor for cultural economy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So New Orleans is about ready to celebrate its tricentennial, and this grant pretty much aims to get the community involved in that celebration. Scott, go ahead and tell us about this grant, which is funded by the 2018 NOLA Foundation.
Well, you know, one of the wonderful ways New Orleans is unique is that our neighborhoods really define who we are as a city, and we have been blessed to have 73 different unique neighborhoods in New Orleans. And so one of the things that the mayor has invested in is those neighborhoods. And so how do you get this group of residents and very invested constituents involved in celebrating our 300th anniversary? And one way to do that was to do it at a neighborhood level. Mm-hmm. So the Tricentennial Neighborhood Grants were born out of the idea that the neighborhoods should have the opportunity to celebrate the city's 300th birthday in a way that befits their particular neighborhood.
What are some of the parameters of this project, and how should the grant be used?
Well, the grant can be used for anything from a neighborhood celebration of the tricentennial, a collaboration among different neighborhood associations within a neighborhood for beautification, for a quality of life project commemorating the tricentennial. It can be used to work with young people to build capacity for them. For example, if you have a lot of schools and you in a neighborhood and you might want to work with those young people on college applications or something like that, or an outreach project, something that would bring people to your neighborhood if you have a particular festival that you do every year or you have a recreation center that's particularly attractive. Any way that the neighborhood feels that they can mark this moment in time for their neighborhood.
And how much would be awarded to grantees?
We're anticipating a $1,000 grant for each of the 73 neighborhoods.
So that's $73,000, and that was given by the NOLA Foundation?
The 2018 NOLA Foundation, right, which was the nonprofit organization created to raise money to support these activities, private dollars to support these activities of the tricentennial.
That's great. Now the big question, who can apply and how does one know if he or she is eligible for the grant?
Well, the best way to do it is through the 2018NOLA.com website. And at the very top, there's a tab that says Neighborhood Grants. You click on that. It gives you everything from the timetable to what we're looking for in grants, and it lists the neighborhoods. All 73 neighborhoods are listed. So, and then it has a map if you don't know which neighborhood you're listed in, because neighborhood associations and the neighborhoods are two different things. Mm-hmm. So this tells you the neighborhoods that are eligible. And then there's an application process and a review process. And based on the questions in the application, the 73 representative organizations of these neighborhoods will receive the award.
When is the deadline for applications, and how are grantees chosen?
The applications are due on January the 8th by 5 p.m. There is a panel made up of members from our Office of Neighborhood Engagement and members from our Community Engagement Committee of the 2018 NOLA Commission. They'll review the applications and select the recipients, and they will be notified. The recipients will be notified on January the 19th. Okay. So that gives them most of the year to decide when to have their celebration.
Let's talk about how this grant coincides with the overall neighborhood and engagement strategy that the city has.
Well, I think this is a way that the city, number one, it recognizes that part of New Orleans' uniqueness is based in its neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the Office of Neighborhood Engagement was specifically created by Mayor Landrieu to make sure that these neighborhoods and the constituents who live in these neighborhoods have a voice in government. You've seen that through our public meetings that we hold every year around the budget process. You see Coffee on Our Corner, all the different programs that the Office of Neighborhood Engagement does throughout the year. This particular program was designed to say, you know what, here's a really big celebratory moment in our city, and we would be remiss if we didn't make sure neighborhoods had a special niche in that celebration.
Right.
So it ties in that it really holds up the unique 73 neighborhoods. We're not giving it to just one or two. We're giving it to all of them so that they can decide how they want to celebrate.
Scott, before we end our conversation today, I'd also like to ask about the Next 300 Challenge, which is another platform to position the city for smart growth and economic sustainability. Any update on that challenge? Because that started back in October, correct?
It started in October with the announcement. We now have 154 applications. So the committee, part of the Neighborhood and Engagement Committee, is looking at the initial applicants, letters of intent is what that was called, to invite the group to make the final application. And that will happen by the first week of January. And then there's a process that those applicants will go through, that they'll work with trainers, they'll work with entrepreneurs and mentors to shape a proposal. The winner will be announced during the New Orleans Entrepreneur Week in March. So it's a longer process. But it, again, its purpose is to help envision the next 300 years of New Orleans. So we're looking for things that are innovative. We're looking for things that are sustainable. We're looking for things that look toward the future of New Orleans. So we were thrilled with the response. We'll see what happens in March, the big announcement in March during Entrepreneur Week.
That was Scott Hutchinson, advisor to the mayor for cultural economy. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
The city is now accepting applications for the Tricentennial Grant. You can learn more at 2018NOLA.com.
Herb. Yo, I don't think we should talk about this.
Come on, why not?
People might misunderstand what we're trying to say, you know?
But that's a part of life, okay?
Come on. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk.
The Louisiana Public Health Institute recently launched a campaign called Go Talk, which is designed to empower Louisianans to incorporate sex education in schools across the state. Joining me now to talk more about the campaign and its goal is Christy Bardell with the Louisiana Public Health Institute. Christy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And you're the associate director for the family health team, correct?
Yes.
Now, tell us, what's the mission of the Go Talk campaign?
The mission of the Go Talk campaign is really to empower parents, students, and caregivers to talk with policymakers and school board officials to really promote comprehensive sexual education within the school system. Currently, Louisiana law does not require sexual education, and if comprehensive sexual education is taught within the school, it happens in 7th to 12th grade, and it must emphasize abstinence.
So it's not pushed by the state. It is not state law that sex education be taught in schools. And you guys have been fighting for this for some time.
Correct. So if sex education is taught in the schools, some individuals can be teaching abstinence only. Some may be teaching comprehensive sexual education, but there's no mandate currently for comp sex ed in the state of Louisiana. We've been fighting for this for a couple of years now. And when we talk about comprehensive sexual education, we're really focusing on teaching that abstinence is a key way to reduce sexually transmitted diseases and teen pregnancy, but also including medically accurate information on risk reduction methods such as contraception, condom usage.
Let's talk about CSE. You mentioned comprehensive sex education. What's on a lesson plan for something like that?
So comprehensive sexual education includes multiple components. It includes stuff such as healthy relationships, building self-esteem, looking at bullying. A lot of the standards for comprehensive sexual education is based on the National Sexuality Education Standards.
We need to mention that Go Talk started after a surveying process on beliefs about sex education. What were some of your team's findings from that survey?
Some of the key findings from that survey was that parents overwhelmingly support comprehensive sexual education. In fact, 74% of parents believe schools should be required to teach sex education, and 84% of parents felt like it was an important component of the school curriculum.
Were any parents surprised that sex education wasn't being taught?
Some of the parents were surprised that sex education was not being taught, because when we surveyed parents statewide, 61% of them felt that comprehensive sex education was either going to be taught to their children or had been taught to children. So a lot of them weren't aware that there is no law mandating sex education within the state of Louisiana.
Now, even though the law says that it doesn't have to be taught at school statewide, some schools still teach it. How is that even decided?
A lot of the ways that sex education is taught, we actually work hand in hand with schools to develop a policy, a parent review committee. There's a couple of steps that the school and parents can go through to actually implement sex education within the school. But it's a process that schools work hand in hand with the parents as well.
Earlier, you mentioned that the Louisiana Public Health Institute has been fighting to make sex education part of state law for schools around the state. Is the governor supporting you guys on that?
So we've been having multiple conversations with the governor's office around sex education. One of the main barriers that we've seen regarding movement for sex education was a lot of times when we worked with communities and even policymakers, they really wanted to know what parents in Louisiana felt around sex education. We've had results on a national level for years, but every time we face the barrier around what is it that's happening in Louisiana, what is it that Louisiana parents feel around this issue? So we feel that with these new survey results, we have a lot more momentum and support for comprehensive sex education.
What's the end goal here for the Go Talk campaign?
The end goal is really to hopefully require that sex education be taught in schools throughout Louisiana through empowerment of parents as advocates to really push and promote comprehensive sex education.
And what response have you all been receiving from parents getting help to do that?
Overwhelmingly, the responses have been very supportive. The tools and resources on Go Talk provides roadmaps for how parents can engage with their policymakers. It also provides resources that parents can utilize when initiating these conversations with their children at home. So overwhelmingly, it's been very supportive.
You know, if we look at the state's rates of teen pregnancy or even STDs, where we're ranked number one, I can't help but think to myself, why hasn't a program like this been implemented in schools years ago?
That's a great question, and it's mind-boggling because there is a lot of research out there that shows that when there's sex education that is comprehensive, sex education that includes risk reduction methods and also provides developmentally appropriate information around sexual health, that reduces the initiation of sex, and it allows you to make more informed decisions. We're at the process where we will be providing this research and the findings from the Go Talk campaign and research to really catapult the initiative for comprehensive sex education in Louisiana.
Will that research also prove that comprehensive sex education is pretty much better than abstinence-only education programs?
Well, there is national research currently that supports comprehensive sex education.
Okay. So in regards to putting sex education in schools, what's the benefit there for Louisiana parents?
I think the benefit for Louisiana parents is a healthier and more informed child. A lot of times when I've worked in communities, I see that there's generational misnomers around sex education. And a lot of times parents tell me, hey, if only I knew that. If I knew that, then I could educate my child. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we're just trying to change over time. And that's why the Go Talk website is also so important, because a lot of times parents may not know this information. They may not know what are trusted resources to go to. So having a platform where they can access those resources, but also engage in conversations with their child that aligns with their family values. Because in a school, we focus on factual information. At home, we really strive for parents to say, how can you merge that value-based at home with the factual information at school?
That was Christy Bardell, Associate Director for the Family Health Team at the Louisiana Public Health Institute. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
To learn more about Go Talk, you can visit gotalk.org. The season of giving and gratitude is here, and WWNO is thankful for everyone who donated this year. If you haven't given yet, you can still get a 2017 tax deduction with your donation before the end of the year. You can give online at wwno.org/donate, and thank you. The Zulu Social Aid and Pleasure Club will have its annual Zulu Toys for Tots distribution this Saturday at New Orleans City Hall. Joining me now to talk more about this giveaway is Zulu historian Clarence Becknell. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
So, Mr. Becknell, Zulu has been doing this annual distribution for some time now. Go ahead and tell us why you guys started all this.
We actually started right after Katrina. When we got back to our headquarters on Broad Street, we were basically about the, right after Katrina, we noticed that a lot of the kids in the neighborhood did not have toys. Some didn't have any coats. And it was like kind of cold weather season, so we decided to kind of help the community out to get these kids some toys. And we had spoken with some of our sponsors, and they assisted us in having a toy drive. So then we just named it the Zulu Toys for Tots. We partnered with various other corporate sponsors and the Marine Corps, as a matter of fact. We partnered with the Toys for Tots of the Marine Corps, and we started the Toys for Tots. And over the years, it has grown. So we had decided to move it to the City Council chambers at City Hall.
And let's talk about how receptive City Hall has been with you guys during the years.
Very receptive. All the council members, the mayor, everyone come out. I mean, all of, the local politics, city government, everybody comes out to greet the kids, and they see what we're doing as an organization. and they're very, very supportive of us.
I consider myself a kid at heart, but I'm sure I can't go up there and get a toy. Let's talk about the age for kids to come up and get a toy this weekend.
Yeah, we're looking at between ages of 6 and 17. And most of these kids want bicycles and they want toys. So we have enough toys and enough bicycles that we can give every kid a bicycle. As a matter of fact, when a kid walks into the city chambers, we give them a number and then we call them and they're able to pick out like three toys. And then we bring them to the back where they select their bicycle.
How many kids are you guys expecting this weekend?
We're expecting about 1,500.
1,500 kids, and they all get a bike?
Yes.
That's great.
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, the time that it starts is going to start at 7 to 12, but they're going to start arriving about 3, 4 in the morning. And it's no longer just in the New Orleans area. The surrounding parishes now, we got individuals that come from the surrounding parishes that come to the Star Distribution now.
Now, Mr. Becknell, one of my favorite Christmas ornaments reads, Happy Almost Mardi Gras. So let's talk about what this time of year means for Zulu.
Well, it's a time for us to give back. Now, we're in the Mardi Gras mode, we're in the Christmas mode, but more our top priority right now is to give back to the community. And we thought that to put a smile on these kids' faces when you see them. These are kids that are very less fortunate, and we realize that. So we put all our efforts out just like we do with Mardi Gras. We put our efforts out to be successful, just as we would give someone a coconut and they have a smile on their face. Well, we want to see that same smile on some of these kids.
Yeah.
And our efforts right now is strictly to care on these kids and having them have a nice Christmas.
That was Clarence Becknell, historian for the Zulu Social Aid and Pleasure Club. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
The annual Zulu Toys for Tots distribution is this Saturday at the New Orleans City Hall Chambers, 1300 Perdido Street. Toys will be distributed from 7 a.m. until noon. The public is invited to attend, and parents must bring identification.
Hi there, it's Rachel Martin from Morning Edition, and I want to tell you about a story that has stuck with me this past year. It was just a couple of months after President Trump's inauguration, and I went down to Charlotte, North Carolina, to visit a group of Republicans I met during the presidential election. They were divided back then throughout the campaign, which isn't a surprise, but you would have thought they would have come together with the election of a Republican president. That was not the case. There were several people in the room who were as dismayed and anxious about the prospect of Trump's presidency as they were during the campaign. And the rifts I saw in the back room of that diner in Charlotte are the same divides we see deepening within the GOP today. It's one thing to see it play out in Congress, but what NPR does so well is to take you out of Washington to see how the issues are shaping the lives of Americans. Your support helps make that journalism happen. Please make a contribution to this station now, and thank you so much.
Donate your seasonal tax-deductible gift right now by calling us at 800-286-7002. That's 800-286-7002. Or go online to wwno.org/donate. Thank you, and happy holidays. And that's it for this week's edition of All Things New Orleans. I'm Janae Pierre. Follow me on Twitter at Miss Janae Pierre and feel free to tweet comments or questions. Would you like to suggest a guest or topic? Send an email to janae@wwno.org. That's janae@wwno.org. Visit our website to check out previous shows and be sure to catch us next week right here on 89.9 WWNO New Orleans and 90.5 KTLN Thibodaux Houma. Thanks for joining us.
Underwriting programming on WWNO New Orleans Public Radio is a great way to support this station, and it's also a very effective way to reach informed, civic-minded, and educated adults in the New Orleans region with information about your business, service, or organization. Find out how WWNO 89.9 FM can help grow your business by emailing underwriting@wwno.org.